If you look up your car's empty weight on the factory spec sheet just to go buy a scissor jack, you are honestly setting yourself up for a catastrophic failure right on the shoulder of the highway.
No, absolutely. It's a recipe for disaster.
Right. So welcome to this deep dive into the automotive equivalent of a parachute, which is the scissor jack. I mean, it's one of those things you just ignore completely until you desperately need it to work perfectly, you know?
You really do. And the context here is that even a jack that's, you know, rated for like 1.5 tons will completely collapse under a light sedan if the driver makes some pretty common preventable errors.
Which happens all the time. So our mission for this deep dive is to extract the critical safety and buying facts from our source material today, just so you never get stranded or, worse, injured by relying on the wrong tool.
Yeah, and usually those failures happen because drivers calculate their car's weight completely wrong. Like, the biggest trap is relying on that empty curb weight.
Right, the curb weight is basically meaningless for this, right?
Exactly. You have to use the GVWR, the gross vehicle weight rating, which you can usually find printed right on the driver's side door jamb. And then you have to add a mandatory 25% safety margin to that number.
Wait, really? A mandatory 25%?
Yeah. So like if a sedan's GVWR is 4,000 pounds, you actually need a 5,000 pound or 2.5 ton jack. You can never round down.
Wait, so if I'm like hauling a trunk full of heavy gear or towing a trailer, the weight number on that factory spec sheet is basically useless for picking a jack.
Totally useless. Because that dynamic weight distribution means all the load might be concentrated on one rear corner. And the stress on the jack's threaded rod actually peaks right at the top of the lift.
But because it's fully extended.
Exactly. As it extends, its mechanical advantage drops. So lifting a loaded rear axle at maximum extension is, it's the exact moment a weld is most likely to shear.
And pushing it to that absolute maximum extension creates a huge geometry problem, too. Getting the weight right is really only half the battle. I mean, if the jack doesn't fit under the car or reach high enough, you're still stuck.
Right. You have to match the height to your specific vehicle. A standard sedan is going to need like 8 to 12 inches of lift to account for suspension droop.
Because the wheel just hangs down as you lift the frame.
Exactly. And with a truck, that droop is massive. You're talking 15 to 20 inches of lift before the tire even clears the ground.
Wow. And then on the flip side, a low-profile sports car has barely any droop, but you need a jack with a starting clearance as low as 3 inches just to, you know, slide it under the chassis in the first place.
Yeah, it's totally different. And once you're under there, you have to hit the correct metal pinch weld. If you miss that spot, you destabilize the entire lift.
Yeah, like trying to lift on a plastic rocker panel instead of the metal pinch weld is, it's basically like trying to lift a house by its vinyl siding.
That is exactly what it's like. It just shatters. Mm-hmm. And even if you do find the pinch weld, doing this on grass or gravel is a huge mistake. The jack will just tip. You always need chocks. And never go underneath without jack stands. It is a temporary lifting tool, not a support tool.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, even a perfectly sized and placed jack will fail if it's just been neglected in your damp trunk for 3 years.
People always think metal fatigue kills these things, but it really doesn't. Rust on the threaded rod is what actually destroys them.
Because if those threads seize up with rust, you have zero mechanical advantage left.
Exactly. Mm. So greasing those threads once a year and just keeping the jack dry is so basic, but it's the difference between changing your tire and having to call a tow truck.
And what about those electric or drill-driven jacks? I know they save an immense amount of physical effort.
They do, yeah. But the reality check there is that a dead car battery leaves you with a dead electric jack. So having a manual backup in the trunk is absolutely mandatory.
Makes total sense. So for everyone listening, check your door jamb for that GVWR today. Locate your pinch welds and go grease your manual jack.
It's literally a 5-minute investment.
Exactly. But I want to leave you with a final kind of provocative thought here. A lot of modern EVs and sports cars are completely ditching spare tires and scissor jacks entirely now in favor of these little repair kits.
Yeah, that's becoming super common.
Right. So if your next car completely eliminates the jack, how is that going to reshape our whole concept of automotive self-reliance? Like, imagine being stuck with a blowout on a lonely, isolated highway.
You're definitely going to be wishing you still had that parachute.
Absolutely. Something to mull over the next time you pop the trunk.